Yes, that's true.
8:45 on the clock. Let's call to order the Board of Equal, or sorry, Board of Supervisors. Stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ernie wants to do away with it.
The Meetings Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Setzer, Byers, Lytle, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Jurgens. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of the minutes of the meeting held March 6, 2013, approval of all claims through March 20th, 2013, in the amount of $372,331.83, approval and place on file, correspondence received, approve register of deeds fees report for the month of February 2013, approve permit number 937 for the Lower Big Blue NRD to install a water line right-of-way 018-020 in the northwest quarter of Section 7, Township 3 North, Range 7 East from Rockford Township, and in the southwest quarter and the northwest quarter of Section 16, Township 1 North, Range 6 East in Paddock Township. Next is to approve permit number 938 for Steve Dean to install an electric line in the southwest quarter of Section 20, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, and the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter of Section 20, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, and southeast quarter of Section 19, Township 6 North, Range 8 East in Adams Township. And lastly, number 8 is to approve permit 939 for Steve Ferguson to install electric line in the southwest quarter of Section 26, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, and the northwest quarter of Section 35, Township 2 North, Range 6 East in Sicily Township. Need a motion to approve or disapprove the consent agenda?
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Any discussion? Kathy?
Yes, I would like to have the claim for Setzer's Manufacturing pulled off, as I do not want to vote on that one. I'd like to abstain from that.
Okay, so we'll, let's just approve 1 through, let's do this, we'll do 1 through 8 with the exception, do you know the amount of that?
$1,529.
$1,529 to Setzer's Manufacturing. All right, so we will approve, it's okay with Gary and Denny. Everything, let's take care of Kathy's first. We'll just do that first. So we'll approve all the claims, number 3, with the exception, or Kathy's just going to abstain from the one claim?
Yes.
Okay. So everything with the exception of Kathy's claim.
Okay.
$1,500 to Setzer Manufacturing.
I've got one more question, I guess, on this number 7 there. And I know southwest to southwest Section 20, and then it goes right again, the southwest to southwest Section 20. I mean, I don't know, I'm not...
Well, I know, and I read that, I was kind of redundant there.
Well, I could have typed that wrong.
Okay, I mean, to me, it was redundant. I mean, it's going from 20 to 19. That's where the electric line's going.
Quarter of the quarter.
And stuff, so I...
I'm going to have her send it to me electronically, so I don't have to try to follow all that on her notes. Let's see, which one was that?
Number 7. Oh, the Steve Dean one.
In southwest quarter.
938.
938, let's look here. Southwest quarter, section. That's what it says here.
That's what it says there. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's going from Section 20 to Section 19, but it's just, to me, and I never noticed it before either, it seemed kind of redundant, so.
All right, we'll let that stand. So we'll approve the consent agenda. Kathy's going to abstain from the $1,500 claim.
All claims, but Setzer's Manufacturing.
Second. Further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. And then we'll take up Kathy's claim there for $1,529. Kathy's going to abstain. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Second motion.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Dorn. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Kathy Setzer abstaining because it's from their company. Okay. Next to the regular agenda, what we're going to do is I'm going to bump ahead so we can stay on track here. We're going to move into need a motion to go into closed session to discuss FOP and negotiation. This is going to be quick. That's why I'm going to move it forward so we get in and get out. So I need a motion to go into closed session to discuss FOP negotiations.
Make a motion to go into closed session to FOP contract negotiations.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. In discussion, vote.
Kathy? Nope.
7-0 to approve.
Got it.
This will be quick.
Really?
You know. All right, need a motion to come out of executive session, closed session at 8:59.
So moved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 to approve. All right, next will be committee reports.
We're going to vote on that? Later. I don't care.
You can. No, that's right underneath if you want to. Okay. I need a motion. We'll skip the committee reports for now. We'll just quickly go down to approve or disapprove entering into formal negotiations with the Fraternal Order of Police related to the deputies in the sheriff's office.
I'll make a motion to approve entering into formal negotiations with FOP.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Kathy Setzer. Any further discussion? Discussion. Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Committee reports. Building and grounds.
Hey, where'd Jonesy go? Is he still in the hallway? There he is. Okay, Dave, building and grounds. You want to give him an update, please?
Yes. Good morning. Dave Jones, custodian. We did have Wim Kirsten from Berger and Architects come down and talk to us about the feasibility to make the south entrance handicap accessible to make it an easier entrance to come into the building at this time. That was our main discussion.
He was coming back in about 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yes.
With some estimates on what it would cost for that.
Yeah. We set up a meeting again for the Friday before our committee meetings. He's going to come back, give us an estimate on the east side, the south side, and some preliminary cost. We asked him what he was going to charge us, and he said about 2 hours time. So.
Let's schedule Building and Grounds Committee meeting for, let's say, 9 o'clock. Is that okay, or do you want it a little later?
No, I forget what time we told him.
What day?
We told him 10 o'clock.
Friday,
I think
Friday
we told him 10.
Meeting.
We told him 10, Denny.
That would
that right?
be
yeah.
the...
29th?
Make sure, but... Oh, 29th at 10 o'clock. I got that down here. Yeah, 29th at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Wim was going to be back.
Okay, 29th at 10, we'll have Building and Grounds and go with that.
He was... Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
He was going to look and see and see what it took for the south entrance to make that.
Right. It'd be south. Or any. He is checking still on the east side.
Checking on the east side, too.
Modification on that also, yes.
You know, he gave us some preliminary estimates, and after that we thought we need some more information. And he was looking at the, I guess, the slope more than anything out the south side and measuring how much that would take to get it down to handicap accessible entrance and so on.
Can you also speak to the doors that are there and kind of the width and the tunnel and the wind tunnel, if you will? And
right. When we did have the east entrance done, that was about 13 years ago, and because it is a small ramp area, that did create a lot of problems with just the wind blowing. Either in the wintertime, it's from the north side, and that's the door with the automatic opener. And so that door always wants to stay open all the time. And then in the summertime, it's usually the south wind is blowing. And we've had people complaining that actually when they open the door, it almost jerks the door out of their hand sometimes. So it is a safety issue. I wish that when that was done, hindsight, I wish we would have made that entrance a lot bigger. But at the time, that was mainly designed just for handicap accessibility. And now that we have more traffic coming through the courthouse, you know, almost all the traffic coming through the courthouse through that entrance, it does turn into a kind of a crowded situation down there.
Well, best that we addressed it. And I want to thank Building and Grounds Committee and Dave in particular. He's kept me in touch. So I've been taking care of my wife, and Dave calls me regularly and keeps me informed. The rest of the committee, thank you very much for all you're doing.
Matt, I got just a couple more things we had on there. Dave is also, he's gotten a bid on down there. I call it a little electronics headquarters room down.
Yeah, that's data room.
He's gotten a bid on a fire
suppression.
Suppression.
That would be a waterless system. We received one bid. We're going after some more bids.
He's going after some more on that.
And I do need to talk to the fire marshal also. But at this time, we did have one bid that would put out a fire very quickly if something did happen in that room without it. It would not damage any of the equipment.
It basically eases up all the oxygen real quick.
Right.
You know what it does. So Dave's working on that. And then the other thing Dave's working on yet is the elevator yet, that both the doors are opening at the same time. And the reason I bring that up is because yesterday when I was at a meeting here, I went to use the elevator and my door opened up. Dave was on the other side working on side. They both opened up at the same time again. So, I mean, that's an issue that Gus has brought up quite often for safety.
We've talked about that a lot, yeah, during the security of the building. That's our main problem right now, is having both doors open. There is an independent key service that you can use. It's not the ideal situation because you have to actually enter the elevator, turn it on, make sure nobody has pushed the button, you know, while you're doing that, or the door could still open. So there would be a delay before anybody could bring the inmates into the room. The other option we have at this time, O'Keefe did give us a bid, and it was between $10,000 to $12,000 to change this. It would be called a Code Blue system, where it's actually an independent service that they would have, that you would have complete control of the elevator while you're in it.
But Dave is going, there's a few other companies now that have come into Nebraska and working on elevators too, and Dave's going to check with them.
Right,
and stuff,
yeah.
So
good. They seem awfully hard to hire these people.
The price seemed very high, but Wim gave him some ideas, and Dave knew of some other companies too, so
good.
Working on that yet too.
Yeah, we're hoping there's other options we can do to fix this problem. At the beginning, we thought this would be a simple, more of just a software problem, that they could change things on the software to fix this problem, and they're telling us that it takes another system to override what we have.
Dave, remind me, when we did the remodel and everything, wasn't that supposed to be set up to only open one way?
We thought it was. We've gone through a lot of emails and things like that, and Wim cannot locate exactly have happened, but according to O'Keefe, they said no, that never was discussed, because it would have taken this optional system.
Was our agreement with O'Keefe, or was it with Bergen on the elevator? Does anybody have an answer for that?
I don't, and it also ties in with the security services. Was O'Keefe and security services work together on this system to put it together?
I guess
it might be good to have counsel look at the contracts and see if we have, if there's anything specified relative to that issue.
Well, we did talk with Rick, because Rick basically was taking care of that. That was before my time, but he was working on it when my predecessor was county attorney. And again, if you recall, some of this stuff was added subsequent at the request of Third Floor. And things got changed around. So Rick couldn't specifically put his hands on, like, the contract. You know, they're supposed to be written addendums.
Okay.
Again, I think, you know, basically Dave and I, they talked with Don, too, as far as going through the file. And we can't find anything in writing, let's put it that way, at this joint. We're still looking, obviously.
Okay. We'll just have to move forward and...
See. I'd like to make a correction. They were working with Centrex Security. It was called, not Security Services. So, yeah, otherwise, I have made quite a few phone calls to O'Keefe, and it seems like they're not good about returning their phone calls. And when we got this bid, that was kind of vague also. So I would like to check around and see what other options we do have at this time.
Good idea.
But in the short term, there is a low-tech solution that you can use.
We do have a key system that does actually completely give you independent control of the elevator. And, I mean, it'll work great. The only trouble is you have to – there is some things you have to do to make sure that you have control of the elevator before somebody else pushes the button. So it would require keeping the inmates off to the side until you enter the elevator, turn it on, and then you allow them to come in. And it'd be like on the back side of the elevator also. You would come in on third floor to turn it on before you would let the inmates in. Because as soon as somebody pushes a button, it's going to open up a door if you don't have that key on.
Yeah, they could push it from a different floor, it would open, or they have to be within the elevator?
They could call it from the outside also, Yeah.
Dave, I appreciate all the work that you do on this, and don't take this as a comment to you. Somebody dropped the ball on this, and I'm a little irritated because we keep dancing around the bush here. I want to know who dropped the ball, and we need to take care of. I mean, if it was Wem and it was Bergeron, then we need to take care of it.
I completely agree with you.
I mean, I think that's something we need to figure out. And if it was the past current county attorney, then it's on us, I guess. But.
I'm not indicating that. I usually, as a general rule, and I know we're working with him, you hire people such as architects to help us through these little things that most of us don't know. I can't expect Dave to understand the software technology of an elevator operation. He'd want a little more money if you did. But that's what architects do, is point out those situations to you and say, here's the possible solutions and costs associated therewith. And that's a general thing. I wasn't involved with that, but that's, I think, something we've talked about. So.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying, I want it out there as to who's dropped the ball on this. We need to.
I agree with Gary. We've had a number of these things that just come forward, and that would be nice to find out or get some liability and maybe be able to go back and have somebody pay for some things that that they should do. But we'll work on that. It's not Dave. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Still. Off the building grounds. Yep. Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance and insurance?
We had an insurance meeting yesterday with Lowell Brad. Basically, what we did was started the conversation a little bit on, we know there's some things going to come up here in 2014. They came with a list of things that we're to make sure we're in compliance with, and they have a list of things that they know today for 2014. But their comments several times they made the comment, there's a lot of unknowns out there. The county is fortunate in one respect. Our renewal here is in September, so we will have the renewal done before January 1st rolls around, and then, according to our conversation, we have to be up to speed the next time we renew after January 1st, which is next September. So he said there will be a lot of things those first few months that part of this Obamacare that will need to be worked through, and they're going to have a lot of glitches or whatever else you want to call them that they will be working through. So by the time our county comes down to renewal again, he said hopefully a lot of those things will be worked out. He said our county, as far as that aspect goes, is in very good shape for that type of deal. We did set up another meeting in another month, and then at that time the November schedule more, and we'll set up, we're planning on setting up a meeting again for the employees to have, like Gary arranged last year and stuff, because a lot of positive comments back from that with the employees. They can sit there and ask the questions of the people that hopefully know some things and everything. So,
Myron? Just to add something to that, I mean, what I took away from that meeting was there are a lot of unknowns coming up. You know, they don't even know, insurance companies don't even know how this whole thing is going to work out. But the one thing they do know is the cost will probably go up. Yep. So that's basically what they do know. So.
And there were some things that they knew a little bit about already that cost would go up. One was the Patient Center Outsourced Research Institute fee increases $2 per member per year, and that'll go up to $3 per member a year. They know some things, and that fee was supposed to be the fee that originally is set up so that when this thing starts, they have some money there or whatever. And then one of the other comments they made was that the Medicare. The government, federal government, assumed a lot of the states were going to take that on, and like Nebraska decided to pass it back to the government. Well, now the government's trying to hire people to run this because Denny knows a lot about it. They assume that the states were all going to do this and have those people. Well, now the government's not even set up for that. So there's just a lot of unknowns and a lot of things they have to work out. And good thing Denny's there. He probably understands more about the insurance than Brad and Lowell do or whatever. You know, I mean, as far as the regulations and right. everything. As far as finance, when we met with finance the other day, I'll just bring this up. There was one of the things we looked at was there was a claim came through from Gus for a dollar, and what happened was had some sheriff sales out here and minimum bid, and nobody came to bid. So what the county is actually doing is through Roger's office, they're starting the process of a piece of property that the county has to pay a dollar for it so we can take control of it or gain ownership of it, so now that we can put it back out there and try and dispose of it or whatever. So the only reason to bring that up is really interesting to have a claim from Gus for a dollar. So
Don and Lori will pass around the same dollar bill.
Yeah.
Walk it up down the hallway. And
costs us how much to process that dollar.
It has to be a cashier's check, too, by the way.
It does. You don't try. One more thing. Visit with Matt a little bit, and this comes from Bill's here too, and can maybe answer some questions on Engage. I've had a company in the county that's an existing business. Has visited with him about some possibility of some loans or some financing, and I have the paperwork with me. The Bill sent me some guidelines, and these guidelines basically are what our board kind of approved as guidelines here a couple months ago for when a company's interested in something. This is existing businesses. This is an existing business, and I'll get a copy of those to everybody. This company is not formally asked yet. They've come and indicated interest, and Bill has put out some of his recommendations or some of the guidelines that maybe we can look at. If this comes all about, and if it does or doesn't, we don't know yet, but then at some future time we will discuss those guidelines and the availability of participating or not. So
we'll take a break here from committee reports. We have a timed event. It's 9:16, the public hearing. Need a motion to open a public hearing to hear support and or opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations related to a minimum maintenance road reclassification in Gage County, located as north 2,150 feet between sections 10 and 11 in Township 6 North, Range 5 East in Claytonia Township. Need a motion to open a public hearing?
So move.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 to go into a public hearing. Anyone wants to speak for, against, in opposition of to the... I guess Galen, in the public hearing, do you want to give us a little information again? I think we've discussed this two meetings ago. This was a request from a township to turn a road into minimum maintenance. Just speak briefly to it.
Galen Eagle, Gage County Highway. It's just a formal request from the Claytonia Township to turn this north 2,150 foot into a minimum maintenance road. The road has been dirt for as long as I know, and it's in need of a lot of work if it was brought up to the local standards, and they just didn't want to invest no money into it because there's not that much traffic on it. There is currently a residence approximately a half-mile line, and it is gravel to that residence, and they come in from the south. I did speak with the residents there to see if they had any concerns with putting the north segment into minimum maintenance, and know they kind of welcomed it because there's been a lot of people pull up in there and get stuck and tear the dirt road up even more. And I've had nobody comment about it that wasn't for making it into a minimum maintenance road.
All right. Thank you, Gary. No more questions, and no one else here to speak for and against. I need a motion to close the public hearing.
Move to close the public hearing.
Moved by Lytle.
9:18.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Vote. 7-0 to close the public hearing. Need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution on the minimum maintenance road classification just discussed.
13-09.
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Any further discussion? See none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Back to committee reports. Anything else? Finance?
No.
I kind of cut you off there. Sorry. HR employee relations?
No report.
Law enforcement? Emergency management?
I'll let Myron or Gus take it.
Maybe, I guess, Gus. Gus brought some information on some of his vehicles, and maybe you want to discuss them a little bit or whatever. He had mileage and... the mechanics committee that he has together, they reviewed all these vehicles and took a look at some of them, and he has some recommendations on some of those.
Yes, we met here a month or two ago, the mechanics committee, and they recommended, as Myron said, I had a printout. You should all, even if you weren't at the meeting, should have those printouts. I think we figured what the average age, Myron, was around 5 years for the vehicles. And we have at least one fast approaching 200,000. I'm taking one probably out of service this week. We're starting to get to the point where the used ones are really used up, and it's more of a liability to us. The maintenance on them, the one I want to take out, I've had transmission and rear end issues, and now starting to sound the front end as well. So it's at some point in time, first thing I say is enough's enough, and park them and let it go to sleep. We do have, I think it was three, that we'd like to see come out. Definitely two, preferably three. One was a SUV. We have tried to do what we can on it through the dealership on it, and they just say there's nothing else that can be done to it. They don't recommend going over, I think, with 75 miles an hour, and that's just not feasible in our work. Even without pursuits, we respond to a lot of emergency calls, more than 75. So that one, we still use it, but obviously you have to be very gingerly in how you do that. So, and then I think the last one was just mild out. It was up there. I think it was an old Ford Explorer and the Durango, and there was one other one. Oh, and that was a Charger, and it was at 100. It's probably about 160,000 by now. And so, if that one stays in the fleet, that's probably going to be used for a fill-in vehicle. If we keep that on the road full time, he's going to be 200,000 well before next year, and that's not acceptable. As I mentioned to Matt and some of the committee members last year, we really need to get in a program where something's coming into that fleet. And I don't mean used. It should be new. We've used a lot, and there are those times that come in handy. But for an actual road vehicle, if you get used and it's got 30,000 miles on it, I get up to 100,000 real fast. And so we need to get a lot of departments try to get in rotation. I know the city does. A few sheriff's departments I've talked to where you have something coming in every year. You just know that. The magic number, it used to be years ago, was 70,000. I think the state's extended out to 125,000 now before they start looking at moving them out. So that's a recommendation I made to the committee, and I'd make here today. We're just going to have to figure out some way to, because I think we're trying to get a sheet, and we started on the one here Monday when I showed the committee what's actually cost for our fleet, and I think it was around 77,000 for last. Since we had all those vehicles, something like that, I believe it was. And so we're trying to show the breakdown so the board will get a handle on exactly what each car is costing us and what point in time you maybe want to just move it on out and save some money that way. So
I'll just say that Gus was going through showing us some things. There's a discussion also about looking at purchasing a couple light trucks. Versus the cars, trying to get a good mix with regard to pursuit vehicles and non-pursuit vehicles. There were some preliminary informal bid, state bid programs or money out there that actually you can buy a four-wheel drive crew cab pickup less than what you could buy a Charger. Some of the resale on some of those vehicles is better afterwards on a truck. You know, we see what the vehicles go for here when we sell them. They go dirt cheap, and so there's an opportunity maybe to try and recover some of that. But I thought it's not like you're paying more on the front end. You'd be paying less on the front end and have an opportunity to recoup some. And then you get into the cost of the fuel and what's it cost to repair those. So that's one of the things he's looking at, is to try and get kind of a mix of the different types of vehicles there. And again, just to say that based on the pricing, it was
quite a bit cheaper.
Very good price. And also, for the rest of the board's information, I talked to Galen here some time back, and I don't know if he's still here or not. I can't talk about him, I guess. But anyway, he could use probably for 2 or 3 years' worth of our vehicles coming out to his satellite facilities out in the county as well, because they're about down in old vehicles. The half tons would work for him in that situation, probably not so much in the shop, but at least it'd be something that we could get some more use out of than just a car. So a little food for thought there.
And in that case, we wouldn't be doing the bid process where we get $1,000 or $2,000 for them, because I know there is that real issue down there. Some of those, if it wasn't for the rust, I don't know what would keep the rain out. I don't know. Some of them are in pretty bad shape. So
part of what we had for discussion then, too, at the committee was we, and I guess this is up to everybody else also, is that we would put on our agenda for the April 3rd meeting, we would have the specifications and decide to put out for bids 2 or 3 pickups and open the bids up on the 17th. And we'll have more discussion about the funding and everything then, because Gus in his budget right now doesn't have that. One option available is the inheritance fund. So we decided to do that basically because the one bid, not the one bid, it's Gus got a letter from a company that is has sent out some bids or whatever, a proposed price, I guess I should say, that is cheaper than the state bids on some of these pickups, and that is good till the end of April. And that's why we're looking at doing that here in April, calling for bids, knowing full well that we don't have to accept any of them. But at the same time, see, once we get the numbers and if that all works and if we can work it into the budget.
Yes, Kathy.
So you're talking about using for your patrol deputies a pickup?
Yes.
What would you do with all of their stuff?
Well, that's one advantage I'd have, but I have more room. The cars we have now, like the Charger and the Explorers, they're getting so condensed. It's hard to get a full-size vehicle anymore, car-wise, and we're getting so much equipment anymore, the mobile datas and the AR-15 racks. A lot of departments have been going to pickups. I can tell you for a fact our pursuits are almost nothing compared to the old days. Now, that's another reason I'm giving some thought to it. And then since we had that ruling Irma had on some lawsuits, my policy is pretty strict already, Kathy, on pursuits with SUVs. And even though they still have to have training in it, it's just one thing you don't try to do. So if you end up being in a pursuit as a primary vehicle, a car gets up there and takes your place real quick. So, and they'll probably be more stringent now since members can get involved and probably be coming around and doing some training for everybody on it. So pickups are a good they're heavier duty. And even though the mileage might be a little more than a car, I think overall you still like the four-door crew cabs. You have a lot of room in there now. And then if you need, you have the back toolbox you can put in, like I have in mine, and throw a lot of stuff in there too. So overall, it's probably more room for us when you consider how small the cars are getting nowadays. Yeah.
So look for some more information on the 3rd. Like I said, we'll take action on that. And so if, over the next 2 weeks, if you've got questions for Gus, need to seek out some information, please do so.
Thank you.
One other thing we talked a little bit about was Gus is looking at putting up a security fence on the north side of the jail along the alley. Did have another gunshot in one of the windows. Didn't go through it, but you can see where it nicked it or whatever and stuff, and more for security. And then it would be around the generator back there too, which right now that's just out in the open. So he's... we had some discussion on that, and he's going to come back with some pricing on that. And that's all I have. Here, John, you remember? Anything else?
You got her. Thanks, Myron. Let's see, down at Road and Bridge.
Yes, during our committee meetings, we discussed the Winemore Bridge project. Here shortly, the company will start removing trees around the bridge. Approximately the start date, I think, was in May sometime. And approximately, Galen thought, 6 months. But that's just a guess until now. So On Thursday, April 4th at 7:30, we're going to have the Township Association meeting at the Extension office. Galen and Deborah will be in Kearney on April 16th and 17th for a bridge inspection training. Trees, we've had complaints on trees on some of the county roads. We're going to start with maybe a few letters being sent out, see how successful that is, see if we can't get the landowners to maybe take care of this problem. So that's an issue we discussed. It's something that's kind of unclear yet, but we're going to start working on that. Galen will be setting up a meeting with the Highway Department employees, with the Road and Bridge Committee, hopefully in April sometime. That date's not set yet, but we'll look at that. And then we had discussion on the wind farm and road agreements. And Galen has been in that area and has inspected all the bridges in that area, and has a detailed analysis of all those bridges and the capacity. So that's available. So we don't know the route or route they will be taking yet, if they will be taken. But we'll figure that out when the time comes. So, and also, once again in discussion, we had some information I think I passed out to everybody as far as the past overlay project. So it's just something we're looking at, how the past boards that went around it and went around starting this and things they did, and as far as the townships and the city, how everybody voted on the last bond back in 99. So that's about it.
Yeah, and I'll just bring up one more thing on the wind farm, our public hearing for the county board. The zoning board approved that and sent it on to the county board on the 14th. Here they had their public hearing, and we're scheduled, I believe, to have a public hearing at our next meeting on the 3rd.
9:15.
At 9:15, and I see everybody looks like has their black book or packet or whatever that they prepared and gave to Galen. Galen brought them up for everybody to study before that meeting or whatever and stuff. So, and Terry said he would give individual tours down there if anybody wanted to go down and look at that area or whatever. So you just have to arrange. No.
That includes coffee and donuts too, right, Terry?
Maybe something else too.
Gus didn't hear that.
It's a walking tour.
That will be on the county road.
Yeah.
I will bring up. We also talked in Road and Bridge about our road bond overlays. In next meeting, we'll get a timeline together. So April 3rd, there'll be a timeline of how we're going to put these together. Talked with Galen the next week. He's going to get together the actual roads that we're proposing to do. So we'll see those. I visited with Dawn in the past about how we, because it'll be a special mail-in election. She said the cost would be significantly less because it'd be basically one envelope. It's one item that would be sent out. So talk to Myron. We'll just kind of work through that process because, you know, we got to get off center at some point. I think we've got most of the data back. Galen and Mark Minnelli have identified a group of roads. We need to formally agree that these are the roads we're going to do and start through that process. And really, it's time-sensitive with regard to the budget, how we're going to do this, because that time's creeping up. So we've talked about it enough. We've collected a lot of data. I believe it's time to move forward. So I talked to Myron and Road and Bridge, and we'll work on that. And so we'll discuss it in the Monday before, and then we'll present on, I guess it'd be April Fool's Day. We'll discuss it on April Fool's Day. Hopefully we make a good decision. So, sorry. And then, so the 3rd, then it'll be at the regular board meeting. I just wanted to point that out. So, anything else for
Matt? Yes? I talked to you the other day. I've got a Five Rivers RC&D update, and talked a little bit about in our Road and Bridge. They did. They got an email from, and it's from the Nebraska Environmental Trust. They got a 3-year grant they're going to receive. Don't have all the details yet, but the 3-year grant will be for $46,250 a year for the next 3 years to battle invasive weeds. So they don't know the weeds yet or not. They did have one for a little over $30,000 each for the last 3 years, and that was limited to 5 specific invasive weeds. And this is in the 8-county area down here in southeast Nebraska. But they did receive notification that they will receive this grant from the Nebraska Environmental Trust for another $46,000 per year for the next 3 years again to help with battling invasive weeds. And John and I had some conversation about some of the weeds and serious Cespedes and stuff that are really trying to take a foothold and stuff that they're really working on. This will be for some cost share for the landowners. And Deborah, I know, will have more information as that becomes available, and that'll be through the through Deborah down there. She's our weed person here at the highway department. One other thing, and I talked to Matt about this, want to let him know that the Five Rivers RC&D did receive here on March 13th at the cap up at the state capitol. The governor presided over a meeting where they received the Governor's Point of Light Award, which that is an award that comes from Serve Nebraska, which is the Nebraska Volunteer Service Commission. And the Five Rivers RC&D did receive that and had a ceremony up there for the amount of work they do as for the volunteer work and stuff for, like, these grants and everything. And the one other thing, and we're trying to get together, a visit with Paul a little while and stuff, they still have an electronics recycling grant. I know last fall there was one up in Crete, and we're trying to get one set up out here in Beatrice for Gage County and so on, and we just don't have the dates and the times yet for that. And hopefully we can get that done here yet in the next month or two. So.
Last thing is motor grader specs. Didn't get on the agenda this time. We'll approve those in 2 weeks to let that. That's one of the pieces of equipment that we need to replace. And I believe there's a buyback on one, or that's part of the deal that we'll try to trade that one. We weren't going to keep that, right? We were going to get rid of that. The option for trade-in value on that. So that'll come up to let bids for that, and so that to approve the specs and let those out. So it'll come up next time. Anything else? Committee reports? No? Let's go back, and of course, I think everybody's here for a particular reason, but I did skip by the comments from the public, a request for future agenda items, so I just wanted, as a formality, step back, and mention that as part of our agenda. Next on the agenda, Mike Ayers from Ayers and Ayers to discuss the Beatrice Business Campus.
Thank you. I have a short little handout for everyone. First off, Matt and board members, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I'm here to discuss the business campus. I am the sole owner of the LLC for the business campus, which is the building, the 10,000-square-foot facility that is out on Highway 136 adjacent to Southeast Community College. Matt and I have had several conversations over the past several months, and I thought it would be important to give everyone just a short little background on my personal involvement and on the business campus. And I wanted to make sure that I offered to each of the board members that I personally have time to sit down and discuss it all with you. So if there are things that are not clear or you have questions, please feel free to take my time, because this is a very pressing matter for me personally. I don't know really where to start. I want to know, we answered an RFP back in 2001 from GCED, Gage County Economic Development. The original RFP was a request to build a 30,000-square-foot facility to draw future businesses to the community. It was, in my mind, a billboard for Beatrice's Open for Business from a marketing standpoint. In our RFP, we responded that we thought a 30,000-square-foot facility was an awful lot. We proposed a 10,000-square-foot facility that had the ability to grow up and be 30,000-foot as we brought tenants to date. The initial agreement was an agreement with GCED, and we had a whole bunch of people holding hands at the table when we made the deal. And the way that the original contracts and the deals were made was that I would own the building, but the soft costs, the interest costs, the cost to upkeep would be not borne by me, would be paid until we had secured tenants that would actually pay the bills. We built the facility 2001-2002. We worked with GCED, the city, and I believe the county also in finding tenants. Our first pass with the tenant was with Knowledge Marketing. I think a lot of us know the story of Knowledge Marketing. I think a lot of us bent over and worked really hard to make a great deal for them. They moved into the facility. They left early. I did a significant tenant improvement for them. But, you know, they left early, never to be seen, left the building a mess, left me with a bunch of bills, and they all walked away. Okay, so I buckled up a little bit, and they occupied about 3,000 of the 10,000 square foot of the space. Then I wanted everyone to know I get a little fuzzy to the next deals. The GCED funding stopped and as their ability to pay their part of the deal, they have slipped away and out of business. And I understand I was at a meeting one time and I thought there was going to be a fist fight. I mean, I know how terrible and how challenging it was between all parties. And all of these folks are friends of mine, so that was really hard for me to witness and hard for me to see. But the fact of the matter is the building's built and it's out there on Highway 136. And over the course of time, I have a mortgage now on the building, and whether or not I get reimbursed for the soft costs, they accumulate, and I continue to pay the bill. I'm out about $165,000 to date on interest charges that I never expected to facilitate. Now, I'm a big boy, and I want to bone up, and I want to do the right thing. And to me, the right thing is for all of us to work to find a tenant and for all of us to go down that path. I think that's a lot better than a fight. But at the same time, I can't have two or three more years just paying the bills because I think that there are obligations for others, and I don't want to get into that fight. I'm not intending to do that. So here we are today. I like Bill. I think he's really a great guy. I think Engage is great. I'm not sure I understand where we went from GCED to Engage, but I'm standing in front of you all today. I have an empty building, and I'm kind of asking out loud, in a fun way, where do we go? It doesn't do any good to ignore it. I think we all have skin in the game, and I know we do. At least I feel we do. And I need, and I'm going to have the same discussions with the city. So I can't stop here. I really view that this is a community billboard, and so that's why I'm here today. So I'm here to answer questions, to talk about how we might find a solution to this.
Any questions for Mike?
Just Mike? Not having any interest in renting it or anything. I mean, I don't know. I mean, just
Big time.
Big time.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But
Myron, the deal. Not that it matters today, is that the marketing was not going to be done by me. The marketing was all going to be done through GCED, the city, and the county, from my understanding, but really funneled through GCED. And you may not remember, but there was a real estate firm in Omaha that was engaged early on. I think PJ Morgan was hired by the city to market the building space. And they were here for a while. I don't know if I think that's the right thing, but that wasn't my piece of the puzzle. But, for example, I have a little bit of good news, okay? I think we're in the 11th hour of making a deal with a tenant in town that has a call center. Now, they would potentially come out on a really short-term note, okay, like day-to-day, hour-to-hour, but occupy the space. And so anything that comes in the door is a good thing, okay? I'm not, I have a $5,600 a month payment to make. And so, you know, if I get $2,000 worth of rent and a little bit of money to help pay the grass keep, you know, that's all making the challenge a little bit less moving forward, okay? So the first time we made the deal with Knowledge Marketing, we had a pro forma in our original RFP, in our original proposal that said this is what the rent rates need to be on what the expenditures are going to be. And when Knowledge Marketing came in, Dennis and I had a personal discussion, and Dennis kind of took me in the back room, and he said, I need to make a really good deal here. You need to do this for me. And I did. Okay, and we rented the building for $6.50 a square foot, completely finished. And, you know, that was with the tenant improvement and everything. So, you know, it's really hard. That doesn't really even pay the first part of the deal, let alone the tenant improvement. But I'm a game player. I don't believe that a building that is unoccupied, gang, dies a slow death. I don't care if it's the best building in the whole world, but you need vitality and you need people there. And so when Bill made a call to me a couple weeks ago, and he can attest to the fact that I was Johnny on the spot and, you know, tried to make a deal for a guy that has a call center in town who is, and I don't know his circumstances, but he was looking to move, and we're joshing a little bit about the price, you know, but we're like $25 apart, so we're going to make the deal. And I believe he's going to locate in the facility. But because of situations with our government, and he's a government contractor, he's not willing to make a deal past October. It's April. I mean, it's, you know, he's going to move in April 15th, and so I'm making a short-term deal to take me from April 15th to October 1st. And then he'll consider something longer, like a year. And so I am very much open for doing the right thing, okay? And I want everybody to know that, because at the end of the day, the best thing is to have people in the building, okay? You know, I'm not here to be I'm just here to open up, to work with everybody, but I need to be in front of you on a regular basis because from a personal perspective, I can't afford to do this, okay? And I am really sad because of what's happened with GCED. I'm happy for Engage, but from where I sit, it's the same thing. Now, you may tell me, well, we can argue that. I'm not here to argue that today.
Well, I'm just concerned, okay. You know, I don't, you know, the press is here, and we can't just say that's true because it's not.
Okay. We don't agree. And someday we may have to test that. I don't want to do that. Okay. The reality of it is we need tenants. Okay. And to me, a duck is a duck, and it's still out there and it hasn't gone away. So, but I'm a solutions kind of guy. I'm here to figure out we need to occupy the building somehow, some way. And there is a short-term tenant coming in potentially. I think we're going to get there for 3,000 square feet. Bill, thank you for that. And we have 7,000 square foot of vacant space. I have quoted some groups in the past, but just very few. I mean, it's just really hard. And I understand we have been through a horrific economic time. That's why I'm standing here in front of you to try to figure it out. And I'm going to do the same thing with the city council. And Gary can tell you I've done that a couple times. We've even had group hugs out at the building.
I don't remember that.
Okay. That was literal. Okay. So, other questions, please.
Anybody got questions for Mike?
What is the value of the building, or what would you consider the value, or what is it on the tax rolls, or, I mean, if you have that information?
Yeah, I do. I have a mortgage and a cost of the building at about... Okay, hang on just a sec. I want to give you a couple of tidbits for your general information. And I want to make sure that I do this right.
Gary, Ryan, I'm going to give you this first, and I'm going to talk a little bit through this. Okay? I'm going to talk about this. Okay?
We built the facility at a... Hang on, I want to get the right piece of paper here. We built the facility at a cost of $587,000, and the last of the work was done on June of 2003. When Knowledge Marketing moved in, we spent $122,000 on their tenant improvement at a total cost of the facility of $710,000. The sheet I put in front of Myron, basically, when we started this and we proposed to the community, we had a first cost of phase one, and actually we built a little more, a first cost of phase one of $583,000, so we were a little less than that. And then we had tenant improvement costs of around $40.50 for the space, and we spent that too. So those were projections and costs at the time of our proposal. And it's always important for me to tell that to everybody, because I was at a city council meeting one time, and we were having a discussion about buying the building, and somebody said, well, just give him a lowball offer. And I'm like, you know, this is the price that I proposed when we made the deal.
And so I need everybody to at least understand that. And this was back in July of 2001, okay? So right now I have, originally we made the deal with, Bill Cook III was the president of GCED. We had an agreement regarding financing of the building. When Pinnacle now is in charge, and so now we have a 20-year term note that I've been paying on for a couple years. I've got that worked down a little bit, not a lot, but it's been maybe 3 years in making payments on that.
Like Mike said, we've had a couple conversations outside of here, and we agreed that it's probably merits coming in front of the full board and having this discussion. I don't think it's something we want to get into all the time as far as having people come and market their buildings in a public meeting, but because of the association with the former GCED group and the county, at that time we had an agreement as a board with that organization. I felt there was some history that needed to be told there. I don't think any of us were at the table at the time, so having that information being told to the group I thought was prepared some merits. And I couldn't do it, so he needed to do that for you. So general information about the project, which I thought was valuable for people to know. And like Mike has said, he is having the similar conversations with the city, and so that's why Mike's here. There's no further questions.
I am open for discussions regarding the facility. I'm open for tours. I just really am looking in that respect, and I will ask to come back in a couple of months to give everyone an update, and I hope to be working with Bill in regards to that. And, you know, at that point in time, I hope that we have at least a short-term tenant and we kind of can extend things. That always is the best course. Okay? Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Mike. Very good. Next on the agenda, should we let your young man go, or should we have him sit here the entire rest of the meeting? Let's get him out the door. I'll defer to county attorney to introduce his new attorney.
Mm-hmm. I remember it very clear. He still won't speak. It's my fault. He was a liar.
Roger Harris, county attorney. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to you the newest member of our office, Mr. Charles Byrd. He started March 12th. His name's on the bottom of some complaints already, and he's done some research for me. I'll just tell you, he was certainly worth waiting for. I know Myron's been pointing to the line in the budget saying, are you going to do anything? I've been looking. He didn't give me a lot of money to work with here, but nonetheless, this young man comes to us. He's got 12 years of prosecutorial experience, which is very, very important for us upstairs. He's been a pleasure to work with already, and I won't steal any more of his thunder. I'll let him say a few things if you want to. This is the first time you'll be able to tell them something, and they won't yell at you, okay?
What can I say? I'm from North Carolina. You can probably tell by my accent. Went to North Carolina State University undergrad, Wake Forest University School of Law from my law school. I was in private practice for 5 years, and then, as he said, I was with our prosecutor's office back in North Carolina for 12 years. I was the chief assistant DA out there before I left. I came to Nebraska. My wife is enrolled at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln Law School, and so we moved out here for her to go to law school.
Welcome.
Have a chance to stop up. We're still moving him in, teaching you the value of talking to Rosie and Dave to find furniture within the building that's not spoken for, and done a good job so far. So
he significantly increases the average height of the personnel in your department.
He's always in the back row. He can see you.
Again, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Jim Spangler. Quarterly tourism report.
Thanks, sir.
Jim.
Sir. Morning, Jim.
Okay, I'm Jim Spangler, the Gage County Tourism Director. If we want to just go through the sheets in the kind of the order I handed them to you there. The first one shows the lodging tax receipts through January of this year is the last one that we've had come in. The first, let's see, first 5 months of the fiscal year, we were ahead of last year. The last 2 months of this fiscal year, we were behind just a little bit on the receipts. I expect that to pick up here again in the next few months with different activities that we've had in town here. And I think we're on schedule. We're through 7 months and we have a total of 34,000 collected, and that compares to 52,000 last fiscal year. So I think we're on schedule to be ahead of that figure. We'll be below the 2010-11 year, but that was skewed a little bit from some back taxes that we collected. Next sheet is the Visitor Improvement Fund. We have two requests that the board has approved, totaling $45,000 that have not been paid out yet. And then our Visitor Improvement Fund balance as of February 28th was $92,254.13. And so far this fiscal year, we've paid out $25,892. And the budget through December, which is the most up-to-date one that we have, the fiscal year, the revenue was $34,520, expenses $31,368. So we're about $3,200 in the black there. That should even get a little better with proceeds from a basketball tournament we hosted recently. And as far as my activities, I just want to highlight four of them. The state tourism grant for Homestead Days, each year state tourism provides a certain dollar amount that entities can apply for a grant, and this year you can apply up to $10,000, and we always apply for the full amount, and then you just hope you get something. And we were approved actually for $3,000 for Homestead Days advertising on Channel 10-11. You have to specify what increments and what you're going to use the money for, and that was the portion of the grant application that was approved. There were a total of 68 grant applications throughout the state, and 23 were in part awarded, so felt pretty good about that. February 23rd, we did host a 86-team basketball tournament. Last year had been a record with 77 teams. This year we went up to 86. It wasn't without a little nervousness on all of our parts. Weather played a huge factor. We weren't sure how that would all work out. Day before the tournament, Wymore Schools called me and said that their building, part of their building, was without power. So that was rather disturbing. But they have a stage that we were able to utilize. It probably wasn't the best conditions in the world, but we were able to make it go on. And I think to grow the tournament anymore, next year we will be able to hopefully utilize Freeman School. And then this year, Southeast Community College had a home game in the afternoon, so we could only use it for in the morning, and so we could expand probably up to 100 teams. And that, you know, another thing we might consider would be Tri-County School too. I know they have a couple of gymnasiums that we could use if we wanted to go even bigger than the 100, but we've kind of just gone with a slow measured growth, and it's been very successful. Spring Nationals, I can't give my report without thanking the racing people enough. They bring a lot of people into town, and this was even though the second day of it was cold weather, didn't rain at least, and checked with all the motels, and they were all full, so over a 2 or 3 day period, so that helps a lot. And then I did want to just say we had a bus tour from Lincoln called Hall Bus Tours that was down here, and I greeted them. We have about 6 or 7 bus tours firmly slated for the rest of the year, a couple others that are in the verbal talking stage, and then there's always 2 or 3 that just crop up. So I think we're on our way to probably having 10 to 12 bus tours come to Gage County this year. Otherwise, I think that's it, unless you have any questions at all.
Jim, I'll just say that when John and I went to the NACO conference out west, that the state really encourages the counties or these programs or these tourism dollars to be spent. There are some counties and that the state has apparently watched where they make little sinking funds out of these, and whether or not they use them appropriately, not for me to judge, but they really promote that's the purpose of this tax, that's why it's collected. And so we need to turn that over to the people that make requests, and so we need to be proactive. I think we've done a good job. I think Jim brings a lot of appropriate things our way, but there is that's why the program's out there, is to spend those dollars. And that's, again, it's another avenue that benefits us locally, but most of this money is from non-local taxpayers. This comes from people coming to our community. In a situation like the basketball, that's a wonderful thing. Anyone that's been involved in youth basketball, if you go out west to Grand Island, that's a 2.5-3 day zoo out there, and quite frankly, if we can create something similar to like that that's countywide, not just based in one town, I think that's excellent. So kudos, because that's quite an ordeal to put on, and yeah. I'm preaching to the choir there, but just being involved with that in the past with coaching, it's amazing how many kids come, how many the parents come, and the dollars that get turned over locally. So that's a great program.
Thank you. And the community, the county is very, very supportive, especially of youth activity like that. Just tremendous number of people donating items, you know, for concession stands and volunteer help and that. It does bring the county together as a cohesive unit. So, and we do try to honor every request that comes our way. We don't discourage it. If it needs help, we try to massage it and have them come back with a better proposal. And before we bring it to you, we want you to know that when we bring it to you, it's been well thought out and hashed out. So,
and Don mentioned to me, I believe the agreement is up this year. Maybe if Gary wanted to speak to that. But that the agreement that we have with the Chamber to provide tourism,
exactly.
I believe it's a 4-year agreement. Is that correct? Or
no, it's a 3, isn't it? Yeah.
3 years. So that's coming up again. Yep. Just be aware of that.
We'll have that on the – I think we put it on the agenda. It's because –
It's good till July.
Has already sent that over. I've had a chance to review it, so with the board's okay, everything will be done in time.
Yeah, I'm very satisfied with the agreement, so I hope you folks see.
In an association with the Chamber to provide this for 9 years? Would it be, or 6 years? I don't know for sure. It's been a couple contracts, so if it's 3 years, it's been at least 8 or 9 years. So, but anyway.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what Matt had to say, and Myron can attest to this after being on with Jim. Does a good job with his committee at actually looking at something when it's brought to him and saying, hey, you know, maybe this isn't a good fit for these dollars or whatever, and does a good job of screening out the proposals that come forward as far as this money, and I think does a good job of telling people how they can make it work for the program too. So
thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you. The next thing on the agenda, I need a motion to put Jim's report on file.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle, second by Setzer. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0 to place his report on file. Approve or disapprove. The next thing on the agenda is approve or disapprove specifications on the handicap enclosure and the entrance to the jail and call for bids. Bids to be opened April 17th at 9:15 a.m. Need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Move to approve.
Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Discussion. You want to speak to that a little bit, please?
Between Gus and Dave here, currently our facility over there, the jail, to get it to handicap accessible. And maybe Gus wants to visit about it. He'd probably be better. He knows what went on there with the people he visited with and stuff.
When they said jail, referring to entire facility, sheriff's office and jail, it goes both. Now, this was an issue that was brought up probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And I think for, I'm guessing, reason of expense, it didn't go anywhere. And so it sat there on the table for a while, and I bring it back before the board because I've had a few incidents in the last, well, this year, obviously, a couple of folks slipping on the steps, some elderly folks, and I had to help a couple more up the steps last week. And so what I did this time, last time we just had contractors come and look at it and give us kind of a ballpark figure, and it was several thousand dollars. They're going to revamp the whole front. So this time I called the League of Human Dignity in Lincoln, and they sent the gentleman from the state that does this. He came down, and he looked at it. And he recommending just building a little enclosure and putting a electric lift on the outside. That would be portable, so if a guy ever moved from that location, for whatever reason, remodel, you could just still use it. But his figures come in probably less than half of what the initial ones were. And he's going to use existing holes in the wall, which is the windows. It's not an ideal situation, but at least it's going to be on the old jail or the old sheriff's office living quarters. Just to the east of the main door of the sheriff's office, and they just go right through those windows into the office, my office and across. So at least we get them on that level. And so I've been working on trying to put some stuff together on that. Roger's been through it and gave his blessing. Don looked at him and make sure we're on the same page on it. So I'll try to have those. So if the board approves that, they'll be there at Don's office to pick up, and I can answer questions. But the gentleman was down here. He looked at it, and he had a couple of contractors come down, and he kind of gave him some ideas what we need to do and to work around his specs that he need for that, and that's kind of what I brought to the committee there this week to look at, because I think it's past time. I've got to get ADA in there and get up to date. So,
and Gus did have a bid for the enclosure, and he had a bid for the lift, and the two together came in over $20,000, and that's why we have to put it out for bids. Went visit with Don. I asked her the question, do we have, but you knew the answer. I mean, you cannot split a project in two to get under the $20,000 bids. That's why the bids would be out there. I think it's that will call for bids and bids to be opened on the 17th. Did visit with Don about the budget. There is room, even with paying for the toilets, there is room in Gus's budget between that and some maintenance on that building. There is room in the budget for if the bids come back in again at the earlier price, there is room in the budget for those.
More discussion or questions?
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Seeing no more discussion, vote. 7-0 to approve the specs and call for bids. Last thing on the agenda item is to approve or disapprove informal bid for the Gage County Lawn Care.
Motion to approve. Motion to approve. Well, no, I guess Dave's got to talk about the bids first.
Go ahead.
How do you handle that?
You can make a motion to. Well, we don't have the bids yet.
We don't have the bids open. Yeah. I mean, the bids.
We do have the bids ready.
They looked at them. They could have chose one in committee because it's under your bidding requirements, but they chose to just, I guess, decide this in the meeting. So they're open. They're not a sealed bid.
They're not sealed bids, so just open them up, and then I guess we'll see who they are.
No. I guess, go ahead, Dave. Want to talk about them, or how do you handle this, or what?
I didn't
put that on the agenda.
It's basically just a report to let the public know that you can just go out and pick your body and all you.
Right. Dave went out and got
four. I did ask for four informal bids, and I did receive two back.
Yes. And they are informal bids for the mowing of the lawn, and Dave had developed a fertilizer program also, and that is included when he sent out the informal bids. And this one's from, who's this one from? Oh, okay, Beatrice Lawn Care. It came back at $4,305 total for the summer. That's at lawn treatment are $995, grub control $325, and then also the mowing at $99.50 per mowing, total of 30 mowings for the summer.
The other informal bid came back from Ace Lawn Care, and that came back at $3,770. 30 lawn mowings at $95, and then $920 for the lawn care. And $5 for the optional grub treatment. So,
yeah, the numbers we would compare would be the $3,770 for Ace Lawn Care and the $3,980 that was without the grub control.
Okay.
That
Sorry.
Grub control is always optional on that. So,
yeah, that's optional.
Whether it's needed or not. So, and what we did this time, we did write specs. So everybody was comparing the same product and everything. And so Ace Lawn Care did come in at the lower of the two prices. I did check, went over them with the specs that we were expecting, and checked on references, and they did come back the cheapest. Beatrice Lawn Care has always done a great job, but Ace Lawn Care sounds like they could do a good job also.
So that's your what's your recommendation?
I guess I would go with the lowest bid. They bid it according to specs, and so I would go with Ace Lawn Care.
I'm not familiar with who runs Ace.
They actually mowed our yard years and years ago. It would be Alex Wallstrom and Gary Laughlin are the two guys that do it. And they mowed a lot of other yards in the area for years. They're kind of, I think Beatrice Lawn Care is a lot larger business. You know, you see Beatrice Lawn Care around a lot more, but Ace does quite a few yards. I know, Beatrice Lawn Care over the years has done this for a lot of years, and they've really gotten our yard in good shape here. They've always done a great job and stuff, but that's where I actually got help on some of these specs on what they've used in the past, and they gave me a lot of information on what's really worked well for them, so I wanted to stay with the same program for the future.
So in the future, when we put these, when that gets on the agenda, if we could, before that, put on to deal with the bids before we have the approval items, so we can
explain that.
Okay, because this is this is something you could do out of your budget. I mean, we always go through that process.
Right,
but if
yeah.
it's someone you've worked with, if it's not a formal bid process, you can just come to us with a recommendation.
Okay.
It's in his budget. So, but if you want to go through the process, it never hurts to have full disclosure. But if you,
Yeah, this is the first year we just did the informal bidding since it is at below the.
Well, I guess I need a motion to approve one of the bids for the Gates County Lawn Care. And which facilities? Is it just the courthouse or what? What
could
all
could be the sheriff's office, the veterans office, and the parkways.
Okay. So move.
To approve
the Ace bid.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Ace for the, and that's just 1 year? We
yes,
did that every
year.
Yes. Okay, 1 year.
Dave.
All right. Let's see. I believe we're at the end of our agenda. Is there any other discussion, any other items we'd like to bring forward for the next meeting? Everybody, as I always say, did everybody feel like they said what they needed to and feel like they were heard?
Oh, I got one more quick comment. March 26th, weather permitting, we're going to have the Engage Appreciation Dinner out at Classics, and everybody should have had an invitation or whatever, I think 5 or 5:30 at that time, and also the paper and radio will be out there too, and hopefully this time that won't get a snowstorm then. I know guys are starting to want to plant, so we don't want a snowstorm no more and stuff. So, but that is March 26th.
Yeah, anytime we need snow, we'll just schedule that thing.
Yeah.
It seems like.
I think we had it
Would
this
that work
week.
For rain, too?
I think if we had it this Thursday night, the way the weather forecast is, there's a fair chance of snow again this Thursday night, which I just
And they did send out invitations. I presume everybody got one, so you could respond.
Because it's been postponed, and then I gave you another date, and it was postponed from that. And I don't know if she's going to be there or not. The other time, Catherine Lang, our state labor person, was going to be there. And I haven't heard this time if she's going to be there or not. But this is more of appreciation for the businesses in the county and all they do, and kind of a get-to-know and mingle, and that they get to visit with some of the people in the county that make up our businesses.
Spouses are invited also.
Yes, very much so.
Guest. You don't have to bring your spouse.
Yes. Not if you don't want to.
I just said guest.
Classics again, is that what you said?
Is that classic? Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if I take guests, I don't know if my wife would let me back in the house.
Since this is your anniversary, I don't think I would do that, Mr. Bauman.
That's true.
Right. I want to just take a minute to commend you on your recognition of our veterans and your efforts moving forward to recognize. And I think recognizing and giving tribute to individuals is way more important than what you do as far as gifts. And I want to commend you for moving forward because you're recognizing the importance of those veterans and how we might tell them how much we appreciate it. And thank you, Matt, very much for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Anything else? See none. We will adjourn the Gage County Board of Supervisors at 10:14. Thank you.